time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your hosts, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom DeCastro, Nick Kukuru, the team of Nick and Nick. The brand that is on its way out. 10 years of Nick and Nick brand. Mm. Well, Merrimack Valley, it's been a brand for about a year and change, right? What do we go? January 2022, so a year and a half, really.
Yeah. Yep.
Here are the Merrimack Valley. But Nick, make the announcement for you. Make it official.
Yeah, this is my second to last show. So next week will be my last one. I'm kind of moving out of the journalism industry altogether. Yeah. A new job working in the public sector. And I'm in earlier, I'm out earlier.
Yeah. I'm sure all the people, Nick, and Drake it in Haverhill, you're a big, big known entity there. Like, no, Nick, who?
Exactly.
Yeah, we've only been around a year and a half. We're not household names yet.
No, but you'll move to that household name section.
Yeah, if I stick around, yeah, for sure. But yeah, we'll be doing the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk with Dom DeCastro. That's the name of the show.
Nice.
I didn't get all cute like we did with Nick and Nick 10 years ago. We branded that puppy pretty fast in August of 2013 when we were at 104.9 FM, where we just covered the North Shore. But in January 22, we opened our doors to the Merrimack Valley, and we've been here since on 104.9 FM for 6 months or so. And then the last, what would that be? I can't do the math now. I'm losing it. Another 6 months, basically, right? Or another 12 months. We've been 12 plus months. We've been on the MSO New Sports train with the Merrimack Valley. So, well, Merrimack Valley, Nick, wishes you the best of luck. we gave a little bit more of an opus on your career and our tenure on the North Shore Sports Desk. So we welcome Merrimack Valley listeners to listen to that.
Yeah, much larger sample size over there.
Yeah, we won't bore you. We won't bore you with all our reminiscing, like we bored the North Shore crowd. But you're welcome to, if you want to know more about the history of Nick and Nick, certainly go over to that Sports Desk podcast on the same website here, msonewsports.com. But let's finish up strong here. Two shows for you to go. First, we're going to have a guest on the other side who, I mean, I don't know how we can't call her the GOAT of Merrimack Valley field hockey coaches.
I think we have to. I mean, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. Maureen Noon of Andover, we're going to have on. She stepped down. She'll tell us in the next segment about her new venture. She's moving up to Maine, and she is just going to enjoy retirement and just watch former players. I got a whole bunch of cells, Nick, by the way. You'll be happy to know.
Excellent.
For Andover field hockey players that are at D1, schools playing field hockey. So I'm looking forward to talking to them soon. But yeah, Maureen Noon is coming up next. She'll tell us about her decision to retire after 5 state titles with Andover, including the last two, both 1-0 wins over Walpole.
Wow.
The last 2 years. Yeah.
Bond burner.
Yeah. And what was it, Nick? You said that when you were covering Manchester Essex for the Gloucester Daily Times, Andover was always in the other
division. Yeah. I was always at the Division II North Final between Manchester Essex and Watertown, and it was usually Andover and Acton Boxborough kind of warming up as I was kind of navigating through the tiers because Manchester Essex won 0 of those North Finals that I covered. Andover was usually getting ready for their final.
Yeah. And a fun fact on the interview, we'll find out. We asked Maureen about who did the Andover Watertown matchup ever happen? We know that it doesn't happen in the postseason because that's Division One and Division Two, but it did happen. It did happen in the regular season last year, and you're going to find out the result of that game between powerhouses of the field hockey landscape in Massachusetts. So take a break. On the other side, Maureen Noon of Andover field hockey fame coming up next.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dominic Castro here with our one and only guest today. It's going to be, wow, it's weird to say this, Coach, former Andover field hockey coach, Maureen Noon. What's going on, Coach?
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure having you. Big move, the big news in Merrimack Valley field hockey circles is that you have retired. So 2023 fall will be your first season on the sidelines, so to speak, in decades. So let's start there. You know, why the big decision?
I had actually retired from teaching. I was a special ed teacher for 35 years in 2020. And I got the opportunity to coach a few years without teaching, which really made it was really relaxing. It was nice to, you know, come in, take your time getting to practice, not racing from school, racing from drives and all that. But I just I got an opportunity in the spring of a house that I was hoping to get a long time ago, and it required a move. So I ended up moving to Ogunquit, Maine. I'm a full-time resident now. So realistically, just trying to get to Andover and, you know, with traffic, with vacationers and all that, it felt like the right time. And I had been talking with my assistants for years about, you know, maybe it's time for you to step up. And we've had, a consistent group for a while. And I really think that they were ready to go. And it just made it an easy time to say, you know what, it's perfect right now. So I'm lucky that way.
Yeah. And it's not such a bad thing to go out with back-to-back state titles either.
No, it's not. It's really nice. And it was an amazing group of kids. And, you know, I really feel the group that they have this year and with the leaders that they have and the coaches staying in place, they're really going to do a nice job. And if they want me, I told them I'll be happy to be there once they get settled and do all their tryouts and do things the way they want to. I can either watch games online, go live, or go to practices when they need me. So it's a perfect situation for me.
Yeah. And, you know, the finishing up with the five state titles, 2010, 2011, 2017, 21, and 22. So there was two times you guys did back to back. That to me is super special that you have a group of kids that are dedicated enough to not rest on their laurels, come back even stronger and do it again. So yep. What can you say about those two crops of state titles, the 2010-11 kids and the 2021-2022 kids?
You know, I think it's part of just being consistent. You know, practices are consistent, expectations are consistent, commitments, following the rules. So, you know, the kids have a great time that finally they get all excited. The parents do some really nice things for them. The town does a nice thing with the Santa parade and, you know, they really feel special. They go out with a great attitude and, you know, kind of a little puffed up for a little bit. And then as soon as winter goes, they start getting back into reality. And once we start again in the fall, they know they have a target on their back, you know, and you can't walk around puffed up. You have to do it. So I think we've been really lucky there that we have kids that understand and pass on the expectations and they rise to the occasion. So I have no doubt this year will be a special group too.
Wow. Yeah. So 2023, I mean, it starts basically this recording will go out next, the following week as we're talking. So I think the girls start up next week, right? In practices.
Yep. Monday afternoon, 3 to 5.
Wow. So August 21st, they started and they're ready to go again. It's crazy how fast it comes back. And, but these back-to-back state titles last year and last fall and the previous fall, both against Walpole, both yep. one zip wins. I mean, yep. that's something that for a lifetime, you know, the Walpole kids are going to be like, Andover, you know? But it seemed just like an absolute dogfight, both of those games.
Definitely. They're such a great program. And it really comes down to somebody making some great play or somebody not making a mistake. And I think this particular year, we didn't make a lot of mistakes. And I think the kids were disciplined enough. And I think I give credit to all the coaches that we don't put up with a lot of stuff during the year. So if you get spoken to by an official or we think you're doing something a little bit that you're going to get caught, we take them right off the field. And they know that. So I think their discipline all year shows in that final game. And I think the one thing that we've done well over the years is we've had superstars, but we don't treat them like superstars.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let them know it. Don't let them know they are once yep. that happens. Yep, yep. I get it.
Somebody had told me once the nicest things about our program was you always knew that the kids that they met were from the program, just the way that they, you know, carried themselves. And I think that's a huge compliment because you have, you know, kids who don't get to play that much and they're just as into it. And then when we play games that are really not fair fights, we have a split league in the Merrimack Valley where it's really not fair. Mm. You know, we're playing some city schools who barely get enough kids out because their kids are working and whatever. You know, we really keep it from running up the score and all that. So those superstars don't sometimes get the stats that they normally would if they played with another group. But right. I think the big stat is winning the whole thing at the end to say later in life, you know, you did win a state championship.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's how it worked out with Michael Jordan a few of those years. He didn't, like Karl Malone won the MVP, but yeah. then Michael got him in the finals, you know? Yeah. It's funny how it works out that way. And, you know, I get it too. Cause like I used to be a little league coach, right. In Swampscott. Yeah. And, you know, we clearly had the best player in the league. And I think the first game he was on the bench and then I think I put him in right field because yep. I just wanted to give everyone a chance to play every position. It's little league. I mean, you know,
right.
Yeah. And he was sulking, you know, he was sulking on the bench, kind of chirping a little bit about it. I pulled yep. him over. I said, hey, we're going to nip this in the bud right away. Here's the deal. You're not better than anyone on this team. You're part of the team. And guess what? Everyone looks to you. You're going to have to be a leader. So if you're sulking, the other kids are going to sulk.
Right. You know? Definitely. Yeah. Yep. And I know sometimes it's hard because you take opportunities away from kids and then you go to like an all-star meeting at the end of the season. It's like, how do I explain they only played 10 minutes in your game, or you don't know them because they didn't get the 12 goals that yeah. they could have, you know? So you really hope that people go out and see other games so that they can pick out these elite kids
yeah.
when they're against in a fair fight, you know, when you're playing the Walpoles or some of the other teams that are really strong.
Yeah. So, you know, an overall record in Andover, 390, almost, geez, you couldn't coach 5 games to get number 400. 395, 57, and 57, which is odd that you had the same amount of ties as you did losses. That's crazy. And then, you know, Wilmington before that, 32, 13, and 9. Total wins for your high school career was over 400 at 427. And then the impressive thing to me, the super consistent part of the program was the 18 league titles, you know, yep. including 16 at Andover. That's hard to pull off. That's hard to constantly be on top of your own league where these other teams have plenty of looks at you. They know what's coming. They can game plan. They can change their game plans based on the game before. So to do that was really impressive. Who were those rivals? Was there a consistent one rival in the Merrimack Valley over the years, or did it change every decade or so?
It sort of fluctuated, and the league actually changed because when I first started, it was one through, I don't know if they were 10 or 9 or whatever. It was just one straight from top to bottom. And I think that they felt that it was unfair for some of the small schools or some of the programs that maybe didn't get as many kids coming out. So they made it into two divisions, and that could fluctuate a little bit. So what we do now is play the top. So the big, they call it the big schools twice, and then play the small schools once. And that sort of evens it out a little bit. But we also have a different situation in where we never had Bill Ricker, didn't have a field hockey program. Mm. And then Lawrence lost theirs due to COVID, which was a shame. So we have to go outside for 6 non-league games. And it's really lousy because it's mostly Saturdays because of the amount of traveling that you can't really do these non-league games outside. But it's really kind of boosted the program when you get to play the, you know, ABs, the Shrewsburys. It really toughens up your schedule a little bit. So it's good that way. But our rivals have been, it's fluctuated. We've had North Andover for a long time. We had Central Catholic. We've had Chelmsford. And then it rotates sometimes. So, but usually it's one of those other teams. Yeah. And not from the smaller school because they're at a different, you know, they're just at a different level in terms of numbers of kids and experience.
Yeah, right. And one of the challenges of being a coach at the public school level in high school is, you know, you can have all the control you want over the kids and the program, the way it goes for 3 months. But those other 9 months, you don't know what's happening. You yep. don't know if someone's coming back. You don't know if they're going to choose a different sport. You don't know if they're going to go to a prep school.
Yep.
You just don't know. But what kinds of factors, external factors, did you have to cope with every year consistently? Was it a lot of transfers? Like, oh, I guess we don't have her anymore. Or were you pretty blessed to have a pretty consistent, you know, 4-year crew?
You know, most of the time we had the same kids. I don't know if it's because they really love field hockey or they like being in the public school with their friends who they played with from, you know, early on in all different sports. But we do get the occasional transfer. We'll lose a good one this year to Phillips. We've lost kids to Tabor and we've lost kids along the way. Every time we sort of sit there and go, oh no, this would have been the perfect, somebody steps up. So it really kind of opens the door for that next person who sometimes we miss, you know, because we get stuck on whoever plays really well and they just move into that position for the next year. But, you know, I think keeping tabs on them off season too and going to their games. I'd love to go to ice hockey. Megan Keefe is my former players. They had an amazing year this year and half of her team was field hockey players. Mm-hmm. I think showing interest and they sort of see, they won't, you know, say it was a great thing, but they always say thank you and whatever. And I think if you can keep tabs on the kids in school, even though I didn't work in that building, I actually taught in Wilmington for 32 years. So I was always on the outside, but I always had a person on the inside that I'd speak to. And give them my roster and say, can you let me know if you hear something, see something? And then the last few years, Billy Buchane, my long-term assistant, actually got hired. And it was amazing to have him there because he could just forewarn you what was happening, insight about, you know, a schedule change next week or things like that. So I think keeping tabs on them by going to games, showing interest, I think kind of keeps you in the loop with them, even though you're not right there with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I had so many coaches over the years tell me that you want to know my secret? Get great assistants.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I've had, you know, Dan Casper in Wilmington, I mean, in Andover, when I first got there, his daughter was one of the captains my first year. So he was just a parent that I didn't know. And a few years later, he had another daughter play for me who eventually played at Northeastern. And when I'd go to her games, he was there. And when she graduated, her last game I was at, and he said to me, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And I said, "I do. Come. We got goalies that need people hitting on them and, you know, things like that." And so I've known him for 25 years. I trust him. And it's really nice to have that person that you really can depend on. And he's good with the kids. He's fun with the kids. He can be the grandfather, you know, the high fiver, the bus parent. Yep. But he'll get with them. And then I have Billy. And then I had Bridget, who's taking over, who was a former player. And then I have Sammy Shea, who was a former player who also played at Assumption. I've had Laura, who was a Northeastern player, played for me, volunteer, and then she's taking over at Brooks this year. So I've had a lot of these good people. Tamika Gieslin has been a volunteer for years. And I think the consistency with that has really helped a lot too.
Yeah, I'd say so. In the 25 years in Andover, again, we're here with Maureen Noon, retiring field hockey coach, five-time state title winner. In all those years, is there a tale of the tape for Andover Watertown? Did that matchup happen?
Yes, last year.
Yep,
first game of the year.
Wow.
Yep, and we had to go there. We were hoping they were coming to us this year, but that changed. I don't know what changed, but I have no idea, but it was supposed to be a 2-year commitment, and we were hoping for that. So it was a great game. It was a 2-1. We lost the kid early in the game who was an inserter on corners. She ended up with some stitches on the side of her face. But, you know, all in all, it was a good game, and it kind of set the tone. And it was actually, I felt it was so beneficial in the end because that we lost to them, because it was something you could hold over. If you start and you keep winning, sometimes I think kids get pretty confident, and I think it's kind of nice when you have a loss and you can say, remember, you didn't do this at that time, or we weren't ready for, and just to remind them that way. So I think overall it really helped us last year.
Yeah, now that the way you're explaining it sounds brilliant to put them on the schedule as the number one matchup, because so you think you're good, girls? You think you won the state title last year? I think it's going to be a cakewalk. Well, let's play the GOAT, right?
Yep.
Let's play the GOAT of Massachusetts field hockey right now. You know, by state title wins, certainly Division II versus you guys being Division I, but they that is an incredible matchup. And you know, it's funny to think that the Andover field hockey team was 500 at one point. They were 1-1, right? But then, you know, and then you think of it this way. Okay, we lost that game and you didn't lose again, right? That was it. That was it. You ripped off what, like 23 in a row or something to finish out the season?
Something like that. Yep.
Yeah.
And we played tough ones. Longmeadow. We had a Longmeadow, Shrewsbury, AB, and I can't remember, Cohasset, who's a good small town team, but you know, I think it's good to get those other teams in there to mix them up. Like you said before, I think playing the North Andover Chelmsford Central, a lot of times the kids already know those kids from summer leagues or just from clubs or things like that. So they get comfortable. It's nice to throw in a mix of teams.
Yeah, Longmeadow, team you beat twice in the state finals in 11 and 17.
And they were tough. And we went 8 or 9 games this year without Emma Riley, who is playing at Columbia this year.
Wow.
So during that time, I think we were all a little panicked, hoping she was healthy, obviously, but also wanting to get her back. But I think it really showed the depth of the program when other kids can maybe leave a position, push up to cover for and fill in, and then it makes you better in the long run.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yep.
So what does life look like now for Maureen Noon? What does Algonquin life look like? You know, you're a Mainer now, a Stoneham girl, you know, that's not Maine, you know, Stoneham Andover, far cry from Maine.
Yes, definitely. I think it will be a lot of getting to college games. I'm absolutely dying to go see live games again, where we play and practice on the weekends so much. Mm. It's very difficult to get to those games. I've got a Hannah Medwa, who's been on a three-peat Middlebury team, national champion.
Oh, wow.
To go see the school, the facility, see her. We've got one playing at Wesleyan, Wheaton, two at Endicott, Colby, in Columbia. So those people, I think those games, hopefully some will be playing against each other so that we can get to those games. But and I also have Tori Roach, who is a former player, who's coaching at BU. And I'm dying to see her coaching as an assistant coach there. So I think the fall will be consumed with field hockey, helping a little bit and going out to a lot of games. And then I'm hoping paddleboarding, kayaking, and golfing.
That sounds like a good lineup. You know, you got to do that all day and then head up to a collegiate field hockey game. That's not a bad life.
No, it's a good life. So very fortunate.
Yeah. Well, great. You know, Maureen Noon of the Andover Field Hockey fame, all kinds of Hall of Fames. Maybe you'll get into the Algonquin Hall of Fame somehow, some way, somewhere.
Yeah.
Or kayaking, you know, or something.
Maybe in a gun.
Yep. Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. And we thank you for coming on the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, recapping the 25-year career at Andover and almost, 30, right? Pretty much in high school field hockey circles as a coach. Yep. So we appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too now.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, what a coach. I mean, my goodness, the run, the consistency. And again, to do that, when you don't know who's coming back, you don't have much control over anything except for those 3 months. In fact, the state says you can't do anything, you know, outside of those 9 months. You're not supposed to coach the kids. You're not supposed to work out with them. You're not supposed to do anything. And that's how the MIA sets things up. And to be able to do things in those 3 or 4 months so consistently like that, with victories after victories and consistencies, man, that was impressive. So hopefully Andover Field Hockey can keep it going. I'm sure the Merrimack Valley teams outside of Andover would want a different path. Well, let's take a break and on the other side, close things up with our Merrimack Valley Sports Report.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk back at it. Team of Nick and Nick here, down to our final two shows. And let's get into it. Our top moments of the week from the Valley. This is a struggle to find moments in late August because no one plays any games. I mean, the only thing going on is what? Professional Major League Baseball?
That's it, really. Pretty much PGA Tour.
Yeah, we'd have to have a Merrimack Valley kid crushing it in the bigs right now to actually have a moment that's involves action. But here you go. Nick, why don't you start with your top moment in the Valley?
Yeah, I'm going to the Methuen Summer League. We had a Merrimack Valley versus Merrimack Valley final, and it was Central Catholic that put together the 83-69 win over Lawrence in the championship game. Sam Girton was the star. So 26 points, 8 of 9 from 3 to lead Central to that Summer League victory.
Okay. All right. Good job over there. Getting some momentum for the hoop season. And that's, for me, I'm going to football, and plenty of great football players leave the Valley and go on to college. And one of them is Osho Omoyeni. He is from Lowell and he is Central Catholic, former standout. He is ready to go. He appeared in 13 games last season and he is back. 6'3", 298, big boy on the line, man. Business administration major, just a beast. And we're excited to see him play. He got some time as in 2019, played in 5 of 11 games, played in all 8 games in 2021, kind of the shortened season there, I think, and then 13 last year. So he is ready to go. He was an all Merrimack Valley Conference first team lineman at Central. Chuck Adamopoulos, former coach there. Boston Globe All-Scholastic, Merrimack Valley All-Star, and both indoor and outdoor track, too. Team captain of both track teams as a senior. So good history, good current day stats, good current day lineup for this young gentleman, Osho Omoyeni. That's all I got this nice. Week, Nick. All right.
We got the meat of the information coming up in the coming weeks.
That's it. Yep. We'll be waiting patiently for fall to start, baby. Looking forward to that. All right, for now, let's say see you later, Nick. Final show next week. Clock it out. Thanks for listening to the Merrimack Valley, MSNewsSports.com, Kelly Media. We're here every single week, every Thursday. Have a good one.